How is everyone? Feeling a little bit cold? Or feeling happy? The other day, Baba asked if we were always happy or sometimes happy. Always happy seems to be perfect, right? And sometimes happy is not enough. So Charlie and I thought we should suggest to Baba to add a third category, mostly. Mostly happy. Who's mostly happy? Easier to answer. We have most languages, I think, if you translate the word intoxicated directly, it means to be poisoned by some toxic substance. Therefore, we don't use the word. We translate it in something more appealing. But it really means a sort of a heightened state of happiness, which is continuous. I remember Daddy telling once how she went into Baba's room and he was there dancing alone, dancing with himself. And she asked him, "Baba, why are you dancing?" And he said, "That's because I'm going to become Narayan." Well, I suppose very much related to keeping our happiness at a constant level is to be able to, as Baba said the other day, to have an image of your future form very clear and to be able to dance with it, right? To be able to relate to it, at least. That's me. I'm going to become that deity. But I would like to ask you, first of all, if you can maybe get closer to someone in groups of twos and threes, someone at least with whom you can communicate in some language. What is it that makes you intoxicated? Most, what is it that gives you the most, the feeling of this heightened sense of happiness that you can keep constant? And therefore, what is it that keeps you here and moving? So join together with someone just for a few minutes and share with them, what is it that makes you intoxicated? Sit near somebody who can speak your language. Yeah? Move, that means. If you're sitting alone, move towards a little group of people. Don't sit alone. That's also part of the game, isn't it? Just a couple of minutes more. One minute more. Okay, you can just finish your sentences. You don't need to say this to others, but say it to yourself. What is the main thing that you see in a couple of words or one word? What is the main thing that makes you lose your intoxication? It's a precious gift, isn't it? Okay, let's go back to the other one. Just keep that in mind. What gives you the feeling of that heightened sense of happiness? Let's get a few from the floor. What is it that mainly makes you feel happy? Seeing others happy, that's good. Okay. To be flowing under Baba's guidance, that's nice. Huh? Knowing that I'm God's child. That makes you feel great. Okay. What else? I'm the special child sitting on the heart throne of Baba. You know, this is the garland of the titles that Baba's given us to think about the other day. What else? This side, brothers. I've come here to meet Baba. Okay. What else? So helping others to be happy makes us happy. What were you going to say? Nothing can destroy me. So your eternity as a soul, okay. That's a fairly good sort of selection of ideas, isn't it? If we think of, I was thinking about, first of all, what is it that makes me feel more intoxicated? And secondly, how often and how constantly I'm able to be that and to feel that. And I would say for me anyway, the first thing is the fact that we can align with the truth. And I guess it's been so much part of our search over such a long time to find clarity and understanding about ourselves and the world and what's going on. If you remember the transformation that you had when you first came to Baba, I remember in my case, because I sort of just landed in Gyan, in a sense. I didn't really do any effort at all. It just happened. Many of you know also that I never even did the course. My first contact with Brahma Kumaris was the Muli on the very first day. And so until now I haven't done the course, actually. And I remember that it was such a powerful experience, first of all, that I was back in, this was the place that I belonged. And in the door, going in the door of the little place that Baba had in Tennyson Road in London, and the room where we had them all, it was like, you know, maybe 3 or 4 square meters, very tiny, maybe 6 or 8 people could fit there. And as you walk in the door, there's a sign, and the very first connection with Brahma Kumaris was this sign that said, "You have been here 5,000 years ago." And I thought, wow, that's incredible. Because at the very same instant I had the feeling that you know, the deja vu, the experience of actually this place was so familiar. So at the same moment I'm reading the sign that you have been here 5,000 years, I was remembering that I'd been there before. And it was like a huge blast. And after a very short time, when I think of how I had been previous to that, it was like thinking about someone else. Like, there was a very considerable transformation in a short time. I would say 80% in a very short time. Of course, the other 20% has taken a while. But it was like thinking of somebody else. And so the understanding this was the place and this is where I could do it and this was the fruit of so much search. Previous, even in this life, before reaching Baba's door, I was very young, but I'd already visited about 20 countries and all of the major religions. I was only 22. So I'd had experience all over the world. I had a very fortunate, I would say, education. And so I felt very old when I was very young. And very, you know, okay, this is it. I could recognize it. And the opportunity for me to understand, to be with the truth, and to reflect on it was such a great experience. And I know that in my heart, I will always feel much happier when I'm closer to whatever's true. And if I somehow or the other go off on something that's not exactly like that, then I will definitely immediately will lose the intoxication. When I was celebrating 10 years in Gyan, I came into Gyan in 75. I was celebrating 10 years in Gyan in Baba called. There was only half a dozen souls from the West that came into Gyan in 75. And Baba called them to the front in Om Shanti Bhavan, so in 85, to celebrate 10 years in Gyan. And so they were sitting around and Baba was saying to each one, giving some blessing, and he was asking each one what they thought their speciality was. And of course everyone was waiting for Baba to tell, right? You know, I'm not going to say because maybe I'm wrong and then, you know, it'll look a bit stupid. But so everyone stayed quiet and waited for Baba to say. And so Baba was saying to each one, your speciality is this. It's useful to know, isn't it, that God says to you what your speciality is. Most souls have to break their heads to understand what their speciality is. And when it got to my turn, Baba said, you like the truth, don't you? I say, yeah. You like knowledge, you like understanding things, don't you? And it's really part of the, I would say, the driving force in my life. And when the driving force in our lives is put to use and is actually working, there's no way that you cannot feel happy. The basic motivating force of our life is actually governing everything. And therefore I'm able to develop myself to my fullest potential, then there's no way that you cannot be more happy. When we're dislocated from that sense of purpose, then happiness will be down. I'm one thing, but actually I'm doing something else, or I'm in a different place that I can't see how it is that I can be what I am. with these people around, and you know, with this situation, with the sort of job that I have, and you know, these Brahmins around, I don't know how it's possible to develop my fullest sense of purpose with these conditions. And of course, it's not how the equation works, is it? It's the other way around. I am, and therefore what I am makes things happen. It's not things happen, then I have to adjust myself. It's never really been a big deal for me to... I mean, some souls are particularly more difficult than others, but it's not such a big deal to adjust to others, really, or to adjust to circumstances. I've been in thousands of different sorts of circumstances over my Brahman life and even before Gyan, so anything is okay, you know. Anything is okay. Whatever happens is okay, because, you know, it's happening. The main thing is that I have to be okay with whatever's happening. I can't say to the things, hey, you shouldn't be happening, happen in a different way. No. I have to sort of blend with the things as they are. And so, when I think of, that's always been there, and Baba actually confirmed it, that my greatest burning desire, in a sense, was to understand things and to be able to share some little understanding with other people. And I remember very early I did an astrological chart, and this was even before Gyan, and the lady said, you know, you're gonna be traveling a lot in your life. And I asked why. She said, well, it seems like from your chart, in your previous births, you said so much nonsense about God that you're going to have to spend the rest of this life making up for it. So a lot of the service we do is probably related to making up for whatever we didn't do right in the past, or whatever we said wrong in the past, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we wrote the scriptures, who knows? Maybe we wrote one of the scriptures and then it made so many people go off the wrong track, and now that's why we have to rush after things to settle the equation, maybe. So that's the first thing, definitely, the to be more aligned with what I'm doing and what I am is very similar. Otherwise, I think if there's some dislocation, I can't see how there can be real happiness, which is really what intoxication is all about. It's to keep happy, to keep up your spirits, maybe, to keep up your, you know, your good feelings, to keep up your inspirations for the future, to keep up your enthusiasm. Intoxication is probably a word similar to bliss, you know. It has so many nuances. And so, first of all, the ability to be on the right track is such a good feeling. After so much bashing our head, I think the very first Mooli even I heard here in Madhuban with Bap Dada, I was the only foreigner in front of Bap Dada in that particular moment. Very few had even been here before me, two or three maybe. This was in November 1975. I came into Gyan in August, so 3 months after I was in Gyan, I'm sitting in front of Baba. And the Mooli was about this, you know, you, and the translation, of course, was, they didn't really have translators, so the translation was quite old English, you know, antiquated English. But what I heard was that if you've reached God's door, why are you still loitering, you know, on the doorstep? Loitering means sort of hanging around doing nothing, right? So if you reach the door, well, you still, you know, you don't need to search anymore, right? You found it. You've arrived, you know, that sort of feeling. I mean, you can't, after having arrived, you can't go back to not having arrived, right? You've arrived. And that's more or less what the feeling was too. I've arrived. This is it, you know. Whatever I've done up until now was to prepare me for this step. And so that feeling of having arrived is such a, you know, okay, after arriving, what do you do? That's the thing too. So maybe we're still hanging around on the doorstep, just contemplating the doorknob, or, you know, looking at the entrance and wondering what's on the other side. But the invitation clearly from Baba's side is to come in, yeah. And I guess the second aspect for me anyway, and very definitely, is the fact that there's the possibility of this connection with God, and therefore the possibility of bringing out the best sanskars in the soul to the surface, and the possibility of being really loved by God, rather than, you know, we on one side at a safe distance admiring the Supreme, you know, and, you know, thinking about his attributes, rather than experiencing the return of that admiration and devotion of many lives. Baba said even today that he gives the fruit of devotion. So I'm very conscious always that I've done a lot, you know, and whatever I've done in the past and even in this life has led me to this place. So it's not just the question of coming to love Baba, but the experience of being loved by Baba is really incredible, right? Imagine, Baba loves me. And I've had so many incredible experiences like that, uncountable. Once I was, just to give an example, I was in Portugal and I had a very intense program there. You know, one thing after the other. It's the typical sort of program. You have two or three things in the same day, you know, maybe four. Go here, go there, interview, public program, meet so and so, go to this place in mid-morning and give a talk. That sort of program. And I had an extremely, extremely powerful flu. One brother had just returned back from Africa, and he had some version of a flu that he picked up in Guinea-Bissau, which is a sort of a small African country which speaks Portuguese. So he had just arrived back, fresh with this incredibly strong strain of the flu, and very, very in an incognito way, he passed it on to me. So I had like 39 degrees fever, and but the program was so intense, and it was too late to cancel anything really, because everyone was sort of sitting there waiting in most places. So I would crawl in the back of the car and sort of lie there and just appeal to Baba, you know, you're the one that got me into this, come on, you have to do your bit. And during the talk, of course, it was fantastic, you know. Everything, it was like the fever was lifted and everything was normal. But as soon as the talk finished, I go into the back seat of the car and crawl up, you know, curl up into a sort of a little ball until the next scene. And to have that experience, but this is like, I've had that sort of experience so many times that Baba's aware of the soul and Baba knows what's going on. In the days where we would have personal meetings, it was so evident that Baba knew exactly what was going on. I often think, if each one of us went in front of Baba, Baba would give some sign that he knows exactly what's going on with the soul. You know, where we're at and what's happening. And so, having seen that and experienced that, it gives me a special feeling that Baba hasn't stopped knowing what's going on, right? Just because there's so many of us now, and Baba is, you know, he's just a little, if we're thinking about the physical region, unless you could get a good seat in Shantivan, the face of Bapdada's, you can only really see it big on the screen, you know. And maybe you don't even get the chance to sort of get Rishti or a Tali or something like that. These days it's very difficult. But that does not stop the fact that Baba is still doing his bit, right? He's still doing what he has to do. And the ones that were fortunate enough maybe to have had that personal closeness with Bapdada here, the only thing that can keep it happening is if we develop that sort of closeness in the subtle regions. And if I don't feel Baba's closeness, how can I be happy, really? Really? I'm just an inflated sort of... Happiness is not the inflation of the ego, right? When something happens and the ego becomes content because something's really happened, it's not really happiness, it's sort of empty happiness. But the real happiness is when you feel that Baba's close to you. Not that you're struggling to get close to Baba, but he's actually making an effort to be close to you because he knows that you're doing something. And just after that, I think I went, that Portugal scene, I went to Chile. And for the first time, this was when I think workshops and so on were not in vogue, that was just starting, that we didn't do workshops much, we just sort of gave talks and, you know, had chit-chat with people. But to do an organized workshop using, in those days, an overhead projector and it wasn't in the days of PowerPoint even, you know. And it was the workshop was organized at the UN because the headquarters of the UN in Latin America is in Santiago. And so they'd organized a workshop. And I arrived, oh, that's nice. I'm just recovering from a very heavy flu. And I asked them how many people are coming to the workshop. And I was thinking, oh, and in my head, you know, a workshop, a comfortable number is around how many? Eh? 50? 40? Okay. There were, and the room, of course, was not very adequate. They were fixed seats, so how can I do, you know? I was looking at this room, and how many are going to come? They said, oh, 120, more or less. I said, oh, okay. Next day in Amrit Bela, I'm sitting there, and again, I was sort of counting on Baba's help. I just come fresh from that incredible help that I got in Portugal, right? And I'm sitting there in Amrit Bela, and how am I going to do a workshop with so many people? And the image that came into my mind was a picture that we have in the center in São Paulo, which is Krishna dancing with all of the gopis. Have you seen that picture? You've got all of the gopis, and for each gopi there's a Krishna, a personal Krishna dancing with them. So that image came into my mind. I said, aha, So that means Baba's going to dance with each of these people, so it's not my problem anymore. And it's really how it happens. Baba dances with the soul. When we're doing service, Baba's dancing with the soul, not me or not us. And therefore I get to the third item for me that gives me intoxication is exactly the first of all, to be aligned with the truth and my own truth, and that's happening for me. I'm living what I'm supposed to live. I'm close to what I am. What I do and what I am is very similar and almost equal, not 100%, but very close. Secondly, to feel that Baba actually helps us and uses us. The feeling of being an instrument of Baba, I think, is probably the most intoxicating feeling that we can have, that God's using the soul as an instrument to help others. Some of you said that, right? You have that feeling. Even if you're not you don't give courses and talks formally in your centers, but certainly all of us have had the experience of explaining Gyan to someone, right? Anyone not ever had the experience of explaining Gyan to someone else? To all of us. And you find yourself saying things that you probably wouldn't have thought of. Yeah? So things come out of your mouth and you say, wow, I said that? No, I didn't say that. Baba gave me a touching and the words came out, right? So the feeling of being a useful instrument to Baba is extremely intoxicating. And thirdly, to see the reaction of people and to see how happy they we underestimated. In fact, some people, Baba says even, they just need a drop. And if they get that drop, you know, that's it, you know, that's their whole cycle made relevant for them. Some souls need a whole ocean full of things to feel okay, but some souls need very little. And to be able to be useful in that way. And of course after that things just got bigger even and better. Maybe just about 10 days ago I was in La Paz in Bolivia. And of course a very high place, after getting adjusted to the height, it's 11,000 feet above sea level, 3,500 meters. The airport is 4,500 meters above sea level. Sort of you start to feel no oxygen. But the mayor of that town had fallen in love with Sister Asha, who'd been there in December. You know, literally, he was so touched by Sister Asha, and Moira was with her, and they talked about this campaign that we have, which is called Choose to Be Calm, that we're doing very strongly in Latin America. And basically what the campaign is all about is people often during the course of a day they have the choice, right, to lose their stage and get angry or get upset or change it and have a more adequate reaction to, you know, more easy reaction to the 1,001 situations that come up in the course of a day. You know, you're stuck in a queue in the supermarket, somebody, you know, treads on your foot in the line in the bank, or you're sitting at the traffic light and someone cuts across in front of you, and you know, Brahmins also forget sometimes that they're Brahmins. They become, you know, Kali Yuga, residents of Kali Yuga in the traffic, for example. So it's all about that, you know, it's all about interacting in a nice way in difficult situations or strange situations. So the mayor was very happy about that. And So I went there and we had a meeting with him for about an hour, and then a workshop with all of his staff, the main people in the mayor's office. And then the next day, three workshops for 1,500 people each workshop. So, again, because of that fact, because of that early experience, right, where Baba's the unlimited one, he's the one that's serving everyone, I'm not doing anything, it's not my headache, it's not my burden. Baba has to give something to all of these souls here. And so it's possible to even do it in that situation. And of course, you know, during the time that you're doing it, you feel great. Yeah, because it's Baba's energy. After you do it, your tongue is hanging out until the next session. But then Baba just takes over magically again. And so if we can get that sort of thing happening for us, you know, that Baba's making use of whatever is best in the soul or whatever the soul has to offer, and I'm not being an impediment or an obstacle to Baba doing what he has to do, then fantastic, you know. What else is there? I mean, we can get our intoxications from Gyan, especially. You know, it's probably the basis of it, you know, to understand the implications of being an immortal soul in this world, you know, and to have the experience of bodilessness, to sit back and watch a panorama of your 84 births sort of stretch out in front of you, to use Gyan in a way that really deepens your understanding of what's going on, and, you know, makes everything simple, actually. If we're really serious about having a good relationship with Baba, then it has to be here. It's not something that we have in meditation in Baba's room in our own heads. But it's if I have a good relationship with Baba as a teacher, for example, then it means that here I'm seeing the things with Gyan. I'm looking at things. My third eye is active, actually. If I'm a good student, therefore Baba's my teacher, you know. Baba's not my teacher when, you know, I'm listening to the Mali and saying, wow, fantastic. That point is, you know, incredible point, you know. That point is so much connected with the point that I heard last week, and on Sunday Baba said this, and, you know, fantastic. But then during the course of the day I forget that I'm a student, so it's not real, it's unreal. The other day I had an interesting experience. I was meeting the class in London on Sunday, and last Sunday, and I was sharing that Daddy had written a letter to Charlie and myself a few months ago, when Baba brought up the subject of intense effort, and Daddy, of course, you don't need to know, but she asked Charlie and myself, what do we think Baba's meaning about intense effort? So I actually asked Charlie today, did he reply to that email? And she said, yeah, I replied. I remember that I was talking about intensifying. Intense effort is to intensify our experience of Gyan, and to intensify experience of the cycle, intensify the experience of the relationships with Baba, and so on. And so I was sharing that thing, and Daddy comes online, you know. They're so lucky in London, because Daddy Janky and Daddy Guzar, often, but Daddy Jank, every Thursday and Sunday, she meets the class in London, wherever she is. And so I was in the middle of what I was explaining, and Daddy comes on, hello, Om Shanti! She comes online, in the middle, of course, it's organized, cuts everything. But Daddy started to talk about, it's as if Daddy took up the same topic. And she started to talk about intensifying her experience with Baba and so on. She said, I don't think the word now is intense effort, I think it's real effort. And I said, yeah, that's right. You know, I was thinking, okay, what's the next step? And Daddy comes online and she says, real effort. So what's real, you know? Can you be happy if you're not real? Is it real to be intoxicated with gyan in the class and forget about it 10 minutes later? It's not real. You know, to be theoretically okay until the problem comes, until a difficult circumstance or a difficult person comes in front of you. It's not real. So, I mean, we can definitely expand our understanding of gyan and the implications, right? If I really have understood the past, present and future, what do I understand? What do I take from the past, for example, that can bring me happiness and nothing else? Whatever's happened in the past, is it possible to extract only happiness? You can only do that if you understand what its lessons are. And if the lesson is there and you say, wow, that's fantastic, I've at least learned what I shouldn't do anymore, and that's fantastic. You see, if you can look at your past and say, fantastic, then you're actually extracting happiness from your past. Instead of, you know, most people use the past to beat themselves up. Any of us, whatever we are, or wherever we are, in whatever state we're in, we're the victims of our own thinking, or the beneficiaries of it, right? Can't blame anyone else. No one else jumped into your head and to think your thoughts. You always had the choice, right? So, if I can change the way I see whatever's happened to me until now and extract happiness, that's one way of not losing intoxication because of something from the past pops up again. Change the present also. The ability to transform anything that were, you know, any situation that I'm involved in can be a situation of service if I use it as such. So I have to learn how to change my present circumstances and maybe change my language as well. Baba says our enemies are our best teachers, for example. So I change the way I name things. I use different words to explain my present situation to me, you know. In a way that every single situation in which I see myself now is actually an opportunity. So past brings its lessons and I get it happiness from that. Present brings opportunities instead of threats and you know, challenges. A few years ago, or during 5 years, I had the job of organizing the National Coordinators meeting until this year. And Daddy asked me in the front of everyone a couple of years ago in the NC meeting why I was looking so worried. It's very difficult to organize a program here in Mataban, by the way. Very difficult. Everything can change at the last moment, you know. So you get a message from one particular senior who's supposed to be there in 10 minutes. He says, I can't come. I'll be there in another 40 minutes. So immediately you have to do something else, pull a rabbit out of the hat from some side. And I was looking a little bit flustered and worried. And Daddy said, you know, what's going on? I said, well, it's a bit of a challenge. He said, never use this word challenge. She doesn't like the word challenge. Nothing's a challenge. everything's easy. Okay. So that's interesting, isn't it? We change the word problem. We try to make the word problem it's not a problem, it's a challenge. That you even read that in the self-help books, right? No problems, they're all challenges. And Daddy says, no challenges, everything's easy. So, have I changed the way I see what's happening in the present, in a sense that everything is easy, everything's an opportunity? Then I can really keep that as a basis of my intoxication, my continuing intoxication. And the future, how do I use the future? Of course, Baba said the other day, see your future image in a second. You know, can you see yourself as a deity? Baba was asking. Stop. Let's try it. You know, 1 second, I am that future deity. Don't see yourself dressed with crowns and jewels and all of those colorful clothes. It's more an inner feeling. Feel the beauty and the innocence and the truth and the purity. See yourself in your highest state. Imagine yourself in your highest state. The other day I was thinking that the deities don't use adjectives. There are no adjectives in the Golden Age. You don't need to describe anything as this or that, you know, beautiful, ugly, hot, cold. So, can I see myself never using adjectives? What is a deity like? Can I see myself hardly speaking and just sort of interacting with others through drishti, or, you know, I have to make it real for myself. Then I can get, intoxication from the past, present and future. Is there any other place that I have to get things from? Get from Baba? And get from my own past, present and future? That's best. Anyway, people have arrived and I believe we're having some meditation now.